the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
I was recently privileged to join in with a memorial for one of my fellow chaplains at the university. And we gathered in a large group, and people would share memories and reflections on him. And a common word used to describe him was generous. They weren't talking about the money he donated or the expensive gifts he gave. Rather, they were describing his character, his way of life, and the impact it made on others who encountered him. Now, he was widely read, highly intelligent, and led a very interesting life. Yet, his own experiences didn't dominate, and he was really good at drawing people into conversation. He had a genuine interest in others that made them feel welcome and valued. He was generous, and he didn't hold back in showing others his time, his attention, his heart. Now, this was a key characteristic of our friend, that he would be remembered for by so many. What a lovely thing to be remembered for, generosity. Well, we're going to start this evening by thinking a bit more about our generous God, his very nature, which is to be praised and adored, and the gifts he's given us so freely that are now to be shared. And we're going to look at the givers in our two readings. I'm just going to share some thoughts on how they are good examples recorded by the gospel writers for us to follow. We'll then think about how the character and practice of generosity can work out in our lives, including some of the challenges we might need help with. Now, there's loads that could be said on this, and there's some great home group resources, so I'm going to encourage you to go deeper afterwards and talk and pray with others about how you might live this out. Tonight, though, we will finish with a time of quiet reflection and response before we lead into communion. When God had just given the commandments to Moses, he stated his name, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Generosity is God's very nature. And as we look through scripture, we just see demonstrations of it in so many of his interactions with humans. We see how he created a very good universe and built a covenant with an undeserving people. We see how he gave up his divine rights, came in flesh, and showed us what a life poured out in sacrificial service could look like, with all of its suffering and celebration. We see how he shared God's kingdom with others, especially those who were on the margins. And as he delegated authority to his followers to go on building his kingdom. We see the God who poured out his spirit on all people and established his church, giving spiritual gifts to build us up. We read of the God whose love reached out to us before we even asked, before we even realized our need, while we were still enemies of God. The one who has lavished his love on us that we might be called children of God. And the God who has promised us an unending, delightful inheritance, which we can start to enjoy in part now. This is our generous God, and our words can't do him justice. It's really ironic that in a talk about generosity, I've got to think about time limit. So I just want to assure the planning team I'm doing my best. Thankfully, the Bible doesn't have such limits. So I really encourage you to do what I did, which got me very excited about God. Do an online search or look in your concordance for word uses of the words generosity, gift, abundance, immeasurable, riches, fullness, and grace, and then meditate on what comes up. There is so much to rejoice about. Our God is so generous. Well, let's bring our thoughts to humankind now and what the call is for us. It's been said that the chief aim of humankind is to enjoy God and glorify him forever. And John Mark Comer says that one of our aims as apprentices of Jesus is to be like him. If that's the case, then generosity will be a quality that we will be embodying as we are in Christ. And as we become more like him and let the Holy Spirit grow his fruit in us, it will become more and more natural to want to share with others the blessings we have received from him. But generosity can also be an intentional practice. There are choices to make as we give to him and for him. And so we have some examples to follow in our two passages which tell these stories. So first we're going to look at Zacchaeus. So he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Not in that setting, not someone that we would have looked to as a role model. But he was curious about Jesus. So he put himself in a position where he could see him. And then when Jesus called him, he immediately came down and welcomed Jesus gladly. His joy and thankfulness at being seen by Jesus, his conviction of sin and his desire to repent, lead him to an extravagant response, immediately seeking to put right past wrongs and give to the needs of the poor. So what we see in this story is a mini enacting of the gospel. God reaches out, a sinner repents, receives salvation and forgiveness, and then starts working out ongoing discipleship. Let's look now at the widow. This woman is deeply poor, probably no reliable income as a widow. She came to the temple, and I get the sense she's doing what she would always do, to give to God as an act of worship out of obedience and recognition of his holiness. Unlike Zacchaeus, she hasn't had a special encounter with Jesus. She's giving out of duty and her regular practice. And she's giving absolutely everything she had. Again, this is a simple enacting of the gospel. One person giving all they have in obedience to God. Now, I love the fact that Jesus himself is impacted by their giving, and that he honours them by giving them the chance to do it. So he bestows honour on Zacchaeus by visiting the home of someone who is an outcast and letting that person show him, Jesus, hospitality. And to the widow, he highlighted the humblest act of giving and yet acknowledged it to be the most precious in his eyes. Now, in our stories, we're looking specifically at people who are giving money. Jesus taught about money perhaps more than anything else, so we need to take seriously what we do with it and how we honour him with our finances. Now, I'm not going to go into details and percentages here, but I think we can expect that as followers of Jesus, we are to be giving away some of our money, both regularly, like the widow, and or in one-off gifts, as Zacchaeus describes. even if we have very little financial resources, I think it's a good practice to begin. And as circumstances change, it may be right to give more or to give less for a season if that's what we're called to. Those of us who are Belmont members have recently been thinking about the church's finances and been invited to consider how we might give to enable the church to be more and more generous in our mission together. Now, in Scripture, Scripture highlights the poor, the church, and gospel outreach as three key recipients of our financial giving. So it's right that you will see them prioritised in our church's expenditure. So if we haven't already, some of us might want to join in with giving to this church community or adjust what we're already doing. So how might we give as we follow the examples of our two friends in Luke's gospel stories? We see that both of them give sacrificially. And both of them give willingly. They're not told to do it. They are proactive. Zacchaeus is repentant as he gives. The widow is trusting. She's willing to give literally everything. She gives as a matter of course, in a regular way perhaps, or it's automatic for her to do it when she has it. Whereas Zacchaeus, he's starting off his giving journey and it's spontaneous and unexpected and extravagant. So for us, I think these are things that we can be thinking about. What's my attitude as I consider what I give? For many of us, it's important for us to be thinking thoughtfully, to be prayerful, to be planning. But also, we might need to be open to that radical creative giving. I think I was at a similar seminar to Sarah at New Wine, and it was exciting to see people literally running up to the stage giving money and seeing how it kind of multiplied before our eyes. It was quite amazing. But also, we might want to consider secret giving, where no one knows but God and us. Things to think about as we consider what we do, particularly with our money gifts. But of course, it's not only money that features in generosity, is it? We can be generous with our homes. We've said some of this already, with food, with other material resources we might have. I've seen people lending cars and doing all sorts. With our time and our energy. If you talk to any ministry leader in Belmont, you'll know that there's many ways that you can give your time and energy to this church and in other settings as well. And the same goes for our gifts and our skills. Even if we don't consider that we have much, let's be thinking what I might offer somewhere. Family life and church community life, and our city, actually, give us opportunities to generously participate in things that may not be our first choice, but are ways in which we can back up others and contribute to the good of others. We might want to consider relationships. How are we making room for others? How are we giving of ourselves, which I believe is perhaps the most costly gift of all? Are we willing to be vulnerable with others, to prefer one another? And that might be for people that are relatively close to our sphere, but wider, thinking about how our attitude towards others, our welcome, our willingness to listen and to see other perspectives, to disagree well, to forgive. Are we generous in the use of our words? Rather than thinking of criticism, are we thinking about how we can speak well of others and build one another up and encourage? and prayer. Whether or not we feel we can do anything else, we can all cry out to God on others' behalf. So these are all areas, in addition to our finances, in which we can reflect the character and attributes of God. We can obey his commands. We can live out his gospel of grace and bless others out of the overflow of our grateful hearts. We're thinking at the moment about spiritual disciplines, and these are practices that can help us get closer to the Lord Jesus and become more like him as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it helps us to do something that might counterbalance a weakness in us. So if we're lacking self-control, then a practice that abstains or lives more simply might help us bring about some balance, pointing us to our need for God and his sufficiency to supply all our needs, rather than food or luxury and so on. So in order to give generously, we might seek to bring greater order to our finances or make choices to limit our spending, to live below our means, so that we know we have more resources to bless others with. Now, if we are perhaps overly in control or fearful of losing things, then it may be that we need to open our hands and let God take the reins. Generosity as a practice can help us let him invade and set different priorities for our timetables, our money, our energy, whilst trusting that he is our provider. Or you may be like me, probably a combination of both. I'm definitely in the process of working out where I need to bring more order into my resource management, as well as letting go of fear that holds me back from freely giving. We need his help, don't we? Thank God this is in generous supply. James says, if any of us lack wisdom, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to us. Okay, so what holds us back from the extravagant, sacrificial generosity that we see in our God and we're called to give in response? I think there's a few things that come to mind. First of all, forgetfulness. In our busy lives, we can easily lose sight of who God is and what he's done for us, both in the gracious gift of our relationship with him and in the small day-to-day blessings and in the extraordinary moments of answered prayer and provision. There's also complacency. We might have worked out the percentages and the boundaries to stick to make sure that we're doing everything that we should be doing. And that's plenty. But we may not then be open to the possibility of change or new things that God is calling us to. I think probably, though, the thing that holds us back the most in generosity is fear. Lockdowns took us all into self-preservation mode, and it's hard to come out of that way of living and thinking, isn't it? So we avoid overcommitting ourselves for fear of burning out. Meanwhile, we also might fear running out of resources. For some, the cost of living crisis has meant real hardship. All of us may be reluctant to give up our security, to consider taking a risk on our income when God might be calling us to give away more or start something new. I hope it doesn't need to be said, but you may not know me. I hope you understand that I'm not suggesting that we force ourselves into destructive practices. We are called to be good stewards of what God gives us, and it's wise to be aware of our limits. And some of us are already feeling very stretched and might need to reach out and ask for help and prayer, even tonight. please don't feel shame in opening up to someone. And we will seek to pray with you and point you in the direction of wise and professional counsel if you need it. But I wonder if for many of us, at particular times, it's our fear rather than the actual circumstance itself that holds us back. Jesus said, "Do not worry. Your heavenly Father knows your needs." Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, "Our God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory." So some of us may need to start taking him at his word, letting him have control of our resources. Sometimes, and I say this carefully, being willing to step out beyond our limits if he is the one calling us to do it. And trusting that he's actually able to make much better use of our resources than we are. So, we've been thinking about our generous God and the example of two givers. And we've thought of some of the opportunities and challenges we have as we seek to respond to God. We're now going to go into a time of quiet reflection for the next few minutes. I'm going to lead you along this and give you space for you to pray quietly on your own. The Apostle Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." We thank you, Lord, so much. We have sung of, we have thought about, we're going to look at more. Some of the amazing ways you have shown your generosity to us. We thank you. You are a generous, amazing, abundant God. And we are safe as we belong to you in Christ. We thank you, Lord. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It may be that you need to confess putting your treasure somewhere other than God. Is there something that we need to repent of? Complacency, greed, forgetfulness. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And Paul encourages us that our God will meet all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Do I need to trust God in my fear? Do I need to let go of control? Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." What do I have in my hands to offer? Where am I being called to be generous with my money, my time, my energy, my home, my gifts and skills, in relationships, in my involvement in activities, in my attitudes to others, in my words, and in my prayer? James said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all." What specific way might God be calling me to be generous? Is there a particular person or action that comes to mind? And where do I need God's help? David prayed, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you." Lord, we lift up to you these prayers of confession, of trust, of calls for help and wisdom to you. Would you lead us and help us to give as you do and as you call us to do? Amen.